Hi, and welcome to Open Office Doc Talk. My name is Marcia Wilbur, and I will be presenting a short journey towards documentation. Originally, this was scheduled as a meeting. Due to the virtual nature of the conference, this is now a presentation, which is very useful. And please share the information with anyone who might be interested in participating with Open Office in a documentation role. This talk will cover how to join the different roles, documentation development lifecycle, documentation-driven development, and other items relevant to writing. My name is Marcia Wilbur. I've been in the community like 20 years. I've been a technical writer, senior technical writer, co-author, co-developer for like 20 some odd years. Right out of college, I wrote Linux Essentials using man pages, and that was in cooperation with CompTIA for universities worldwide. I've written a few other guides. I've been doing AIoT development with like speech and vision, computer vision, as well as small board computers like BeagleBone, Raspberry Pi. And I'm also a developer advocate because I am a developer. I, you know, advocate for my peers and myself. I'm also a technical journalist, and sometimes I come across things that are interesting to the public, do a little investigation, find out what's going on, and then report it to various media sources. So, to begin, Open Office is an amazing group. It's really a great project, and I really enjoy working with the Open Office team, both developers and documentation. So, some of the needs that we have are graphics, writing, editing, and test. With graphics, if you are graphically inclined, please contribute infographics or put your skills to work with creating icons or editing some of the screen captures. For example, about 15 years ago, internationally recognized that the color red is not really conducive to technical documentation, but really should be used in cases of warnings or emergencies. A lot of places still don't adhere to this standard. However, it's not like an enforceable compliance issue. It's just a matter of red does stick out and it does, you know, emphasize, but really in documentation for software, another color could be used. At any rate, we could use some good graphics to express, you know, like what is the phrase, you know, picture's worth a thousand words. So we don't need a 400-page get started guide. We just need a few good images. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like to have a library of assets when I work on a project or with a team. So, you know, this would be something good. And I know that they're discussing using their Gitbox, and this could be a good place for it, or maybe the wiki, somewhere accessible to anyone working on documentation. You know, like you want to do a note, there's an icon for note, right? You know, and making our icons a little more current as the documentation may have some older icons, you know, anything is appreciated, right? So writing and editing is, of course, really essential right now as we are gearing up and creating documentation for OpenOffice 4.1x. And the older documentation is how could I say? It's useful for some people. However, what we're really trying to do is isolate the different operating systems so that the GNU/Linux user doesn't need to read through Mac and Windows information, because that can be really time-consuming, and it's there, having a guide with multiple operating systems and multiple screenshots and not really comprehensively including all the options and features and focusing on each one is something we want to move away from. At least in my case, my effort is to separate and start with the GNU/Linux guides. And then we do have someone who joined the project. It's very exciting. He is a Mac user, and I would guess that if they wanted to do something Windows related, there might be a need for some Windows documentation as well. So, of course, participation is appreciated. Many of the volunteers have day jobs, and we realize life is hectic and appreciate any contribution, any participation. The project is a volunteer effort, and we rely on your participation to move forward. So here's how to join. Please see our introduction to documentation page. You can subscribe by sending an email to docssubscribe@openoffice.apache.org. Introduce yourself on our documentation mailing list, doc@openoffice.apache.org. And we also have a localization list for different translations and languages. So here's the information on how to join the localization effort. Here's how to just join the documentation in general effort. And we have a volunteer wiki where you sign up and create an account, and then you ask for authorization on the mailing list. You'll be able to start editing pages and adding content. Like, I created an installation guide for Debian-based GNU/Linux users. So a quick start installation guide. It begins with purge LibreOffice, install OpenOffice, that sort of thing. Oh, and by the way, this presentation was created using OpenOffice. So it's really interesting. You can go to openoffice.apache.org/get-involved.html to find out more. So now I'm going to discuss a little bit more about documentation itself. And we begin with the documentation development life cycle. Now, this is similar to the software development life cycle, only it's documentation. It works hand in hand. I have found that this process works very well when working with software projects. So the first thing is requirement analysis. Does the client or does the project need documentation? Usually the answer is yes. It depends on what documentation. So you kind of understand a little bit about the scope of what documentation is needed. But you need to understand your audience, right? So in some cases, you might have some documentation where it makes sense to have different operating systems together. But with something like OpenOffice, it's really, there are different features for different operating systems, different options located in different areas, that sort of thing. So maybe in this case, an audience analysis would show the need for separate documentation. That's just an example of the audience. I have a template that I use for audience analysis. It also goes into, what are the goals of the user? what's the level of the user, because you don't want to write, you know, an eloquent novel for, say, you know, high school students who just want to use it for their assignments, or someone like me creating a presentation for a conference, right? So after that, you can do your document outlining. And this is the fun part, because usually it changes. But this is where you'll be doing your content strategy, organizing what topics you need, what sections are important in the documentation. Now, I call this prototype, but really it's your style guides, your templates, all of the documentation to help you create, you know, the docs and develop the content. And then finally, you're going to develop the content, put it together, format it, do all of your, you know, processes, procedures, add related content, and then ultimately a review is good. I like a functional review. I like a technical review and a trademark and brand review and peer review. So those are several reviews that, you know, really can improve the documentation. Then ultimately publish it. Now, you can't just publish documentation. You need to maintain it and update it. That's the fun part, right? You know, that's another fun part. So that's the development life cycle. Now, with documentation-driven development, this is why documentation is important for a project, not just so that the users can have information. That's important. Not just so that you can have, you know, QA, review, that sort of thing. No. One of the main reasons for documentation, or one of the, in my opinion, that documentation is so important is it can drive development and improvement of the software. Even hardware, if you're working on a hardware project, right? Using documentation as, you know, the base, you have people involved in, you know, actually using the product or device or software. And those people can come up with, you know, ideas and questions that can spark the, you know, development. And, you know, I could try to give you an example of one. So there was a project where there was a hardware device, and that hardware device, the users needed to SSH into. And without any technical writers or technical people on the project, they decided to put a display module on the outside with the IP address, and that way they could SSH in. Well, first of all, you'd need to be near the device. What's the point? You know, like, if it's on your network, just check out your network and get the IP address. Or another thing was the accessibility consideration wasn't there. You know, there was no audio or another way to get that information. And so without technical writers or good documentation people, they moved forward and produced this boxin that it's okay, but it's not completely as well developed as perhaps it could have been if there was appropriate testing, participant testing, or a technical writer to ask those important questions. And so I don't know whatever happened to that project, if it ever was released or not. But basically, documentation can drive development if you have the right person or people on the team. Because that's another thing. You need to have complete transparency, no fear, no, censorship, because if you can ask the questions and you get some reasonable responses, It can encourage the writers to ask more questions and therefore, find the root cause of an issue, find solutions, improve the software, hardware, Anyways, that was, I'll read these through. Define the project goals, collect the information, brainstorm and analyze ideas, develop solutions, build a model, present the ideas for others to give feedback on, and improve the experience. So that's basically a few steps that are involved in documentation-driven development. Some of the tools you can use in documentation. Right now, I have templates for needle analysis, requirement analysis, and audience analysis. These could easily be scripts that are used that, even with a small font, Python or YAD or something, Xenity, whatever people are using these days. And just like enter in the information as, it comes around. And then it could generate like, form with audience analysis that could be shared with others. You could do like a collaboration thing. And I like this create an outline tool. Like nowadays, you create an outline or you do the template, like a skeleton, we call it skeleton kind of a thing, where it's like heading one, heading one, heading one, heading one, or heading two, heading two, heading two, heading two. And it generates a table of contents, right? But that's an outline too. You could do that, something similar to that to generate an outline. As far as templates and styles, it would be really cool to have a like style tool, right? Where you put in the style for your company or your project, and then it runs against the documentation and checks against the style. For example, if your style for your project requires e-mail, it could, you run the tool or script and it could check for e-space mail and then generate the report or, diff, whatever, output, and then even correct it, have correctable measures for that. And you can develop it, develop that draft, and then obviously review. There could be some review software, very, simple like notifications, add people, that sort of thing. After that, publish it, maintain it, and reuse. Obviously, I'm a big, advocate of reuse. In fact, I used to use DocBook and Ditto and take the XML and use XSL and some other, like CSS, etc., and take the documentation and make it not just documentation, but convert it to learning modules, SCORM compliant learning modules that work in Moodle. So there's a lot we can do with reuse, right? Keep that in mind. Trademarks are important. We need to respect other trademarks, and we need to respect the fact that some projects don't use trademarks and specifically ask us not to use trademarks, like the GNU project. In fact, that says, please do not include any trademark acknowledgments in GNU software packages or documentation. So we need to, keep in mind that trademarks are different from copyright. We also need to keep content and copyright in mind as well. So that's something we need to keep in mind. Keep in mind. Yesterday, I saw on the list something about we don't use Creative Commons content licenses for the documentation. I know Apache had some kind of a license, but I didn't see that applied towards some of the documentation in the past. Although I did see the Apache the Apache license. I use GFDL or put everything in public domain, so I don't really, use other licenses. However, when working with the project, we need to find out what licenses are okay. I use GPL for code snippets and documentation, not for documentation. This is useful because some documentation may require code snippets. For these types of documents for OpenOffice, I haven't experienced a lot of code snippets except with installation, bash command here or whatever. I guess that could be considered a code snippet. I don't know. either way. Okay. All right. There are some examples. Just look at past use or, talk to your peers. If you have licensing questions, we have a mailing list. We can ask that question. We can see if we can find that answer. Now, writing for accessibility. This is kind of important for, keeping in mind for documentation because we have a variety of users and they may need, further instructions. So, accessibility. I did a presentation here at FOSDEM on accessibility and paving the way through positivity. So when writing, keep the language clear, concise. Avoid using location. And by that, I mean in the upper right-hand corner at the bottom of the page. That sort of instruction may not be useful for someone with a screen reader. And avoid using color in the instructions, such as the blue button. There may be 7 buttons, and if you're colorblind, it doesn't matter if it's blue or green. How would you know? and then also contrast in the documentation itself. Some documentation, like I said, uses different colors, dark on light. You can't really read it. You know what I'm saying? Like, make it easy to read. That's pretty much it. You know what? Just make it easy to read. All right. This I wrote. If a writer notices that, there are only visual cues, then maybe inform the developer. But I don't know how relevant that is to OpenOffice docs. It's just something to keep in mind, So please consider accessibility-friendly documentation. So for writing with accessibility, include details, simplified language, colors, watch your colors and visual location. Now, here's the thing. How do you have details and simplified language? Well, the language part isn't the details. You can have details, but the simplified language is the easy, understandable, non-eloquent language. Some people, they don't really do well with the, large words. For example, I can give an example is that there was recently a proposal for an exemption, not OpenOffice, okay? This is different. This is a law thing. And I would say that the big word there is requirement. somehow that was missed, right? Somehow the requirements were missed because of the language, right? The language of the requirements. So when you're writing instructions, information, try to keep it simple. And that way it helps with the localization as well. Translating can be, a task if the words are, not easily understandable. Also avoid using slang for localization reasons, right? I should have put that in there, but okay, that's another aspect. Okay, infographics. So here's the thing with infographics. Oh, they're amazing. They look fantastic, right? However, they, don't mean much for someone who can't view them. And so one solution to that is to, if you're going to do an infographic, also have audio describing the content on the infographic. Or you can use Steghide and add a transcript, embed it with the image. And that way someone can extract that embedded text and get more information about the image. I use this for licensing, content licensing purposes, instead of slapping, this is GFDL and this and that and that. I will embed a text file with Steghide and add metadata to the image file. So that's an option. You can use descriptive tags or just have a description. That would be the simple solution also. But it has to be able to be read by a screen reader or, accessed by someone who can, listen to the information. So offering a video, an audio version is a nice way also. Like have the infographic and a little audio with it, make a short little video or something. So, and I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do. The fact that you're even watching this means you're interested in documentation, which is great because it's my, lifelong journey. Thank you so much for watching this, and I, really hope that you'll consider volunteering with OpenOffice, and then I would like to use the rest of the time that's available to discuss any questions you might have about joining or projects or any ideas you might have to improve the documentation. Again, my name is Marsha Wilbur. I'm just one of the many wonderful volunteers over at OpenOffice, and thank you for watching and participating. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you, Marsha. Let's see if the question stream works. Okay, it thinks it works just with some lag. So people feel free to ask questions in the chat so that we can pick them from there and record the questions and answers. As an icebreaker, let's say, well, thank you, Marsha, for pointing out, I was particularly impressed by two things in your presentation. First, well, the visual quality of slides, and I say this is a good start for everything that you will be working on in the documentation project. And second, what really impressed me was that you were considering documentation for OpenOffice as if it was a normal project. And this is a huge leap forward in many respects, meaning that anytime we have to write a line of code for OpenOffice or to maintain a website or to do basically anything, including QA or whatever, we always have this approach that, well, a normal project would do that, but OpenOffice is special, OpenOffice is hard, OpenOffice is old and based on old technology or something like that. While you seem to advocate that for documentation, the right way might just be, say, the industry standard way, just a modern way to write documentation for any project would work for OpenOffice. Did I understand this correctly? Meaning that you just believe that at least in the documentation field, OpenOffice can be a normal project after all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah. Though one thing I noticed when I was creating the slides is that OpenOffice has some really great features that haven't been like emphasized and documented. For example, the circle with, you know, the mask you use for like say the face in the intro. With OpenOffice, if you click that and you replace the picture, it goes right into the circle, right? Other products don't. They just insert the picture on the screen. So OpenOffice has a lot of great features that we could emphasize and maybe even like have a short infographic with tutorials and instructions and that sort of, I don't want to say marketing, but you know, if people don't know that you can edit PDFs in Draw with the extension, how will they do it? You know, and I've had some of my, I do a Unix, Linux user group, and I've had people come to me and go, how do I edit a PDF? Well, you know what? Use OpenOffice Draw. So we just need to get the information out there to people and let them know, you know, hey, we've been around a long time and it's awesome.
Okay, so basically documentation, even in the form of, say, just those small tutorials that let you really discover all the potential of an Office suite that is this big and complex. That's an interesting approach. I mean, recipes for people who already know the basics and want just to do more or to discover they can do more. Mm-hmm. Let's see if there are other questions. Or we can stop the recording here and move to the text chat for anything. Pedro's writing, as usual, remember, we have about a 30 seconds delay. So if anyone has more questions, please type them into our chat. We will wait for Pedro. Okay, and then Peter. Actually, Peter, you can join the voice call too if you wish, because it will work for you. It looks like it is a very long question. We will patiently wait for it. Actually, Marcia, you can see it yourself. There's no need for me to repeat it probably, but just, okay. About accessibility, I see Peter is asking about accessibility.
Right.
Okay, we'll so, just, please, Marcia.
Oh, okay, so yeah, with infographics, you know, they're visually stunning, but not useful for people with limited visual capabilities. So sometimes you want to, like, I know on websites for web accessibility, you know, you put an alt tag. Sometimes that's not enough, right? Just like two or three words describing the image doesn't really always give people the information that they might want or leaves them wanting for more, right? So if you have, say, like, say we did an infographic about how we can edit PDFs with Draw. Having a short audio, you know, along with it, even if it's just on the same page, right? So that someone can either look at the infographic or listen to the information, that becomes a more useful situation for someone, or, you know, for, so we can include everyone, right? So, you know, like they have audiobooks, right? We don't have anything like that. Really. I mean, not just this project, a lot of our projects, don't always include an audio book for documentation. So it would be it's a nice to have. It's a lot more work, I'm sure, you know, somebody has to read it, record it. But in the end, you know, it's good. And I don't really like the automated ones, you know, like, you know how you have the, you can do that. Take a transcript and have it read by some robo thing, you know. It's more personal if we had some really good voice actors, but, you know, we have to do what you have time for. But also, even if we just did a few of them to begin with, you know, audio tutorial or audio something, then maybe that would show our, you know, our goodwill towards accessibility and everyone. Do you know what I mean? That's just an idea.
Okay. Okay, I don't see any other questions, so we can stop the recording here and just move to the chat for further questions or doubts. Okay. Thank you, Marsha. It was a very nice presentation and very nice ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.